Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Thank you, choir. Judges chapter 2. I hope we realize the need of the hour as we celebrate the birthday of our country and what we need to do. Judges chapter 2, and let's read a few verses here. This morning we've been going through the series in Joshua, now finishing up as we talked about last week, that next generation and how important that is. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, we spent some time here last week. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers to spoil them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Father, we come to you this morning as a nation, Lord, that really has gone away from you, as you look at the example in the Word of God, and we see your chosen people who turned away, Lord. It seems like in our country today, same thing has happened. And so I pray, Lord, for our country, but I pray, Lord, for our churches also, for our homes, for our families, Lord. Lord, this nation is not going to be any greater than the homes that make it up. And so I pray that you deal with our hearts and with our homes this morning. Lord, help us do what we can to turn the tide, to turn our nation back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know what happens when a nation goes away from God? We talked about that a little bit last week. And this morning, I just want to continue that just for a few minutes and talk to... last week, we spent a lot of time on the next generation. And there's always going to be a next generation. We talked about it last week. But I want us to think about what's going on in our country today. And we look back at the nation of Israel. And again, as we studied this last week, this wasn't just a generation of the world. This was a generation of God's chosen people. And we see what happened when a nation goes away from God. I will spend some time this morning on the results. But before I get to the results, let me get to the root problem. This is not where we spend most of our time on today, but here is the root problem, and that's addressed to us in verse number 11. Right in the middle of the verse, there arose another generation of them which knew not the Lord. The problem in America today is that people don't know Jesus Christ. That's the problem. The problem in our churches, unfortunately, is there's too many unsaved people in the church. I mean, people have never trusted Christ as their Savior. The problem in homes today is you have a mom or a dad or both who aren't saved. And that's the root problem. The root problem for the nation of Israel was they didn't know God. And until America as a nation knows God personally, individually, and until we see a revival of people being saved, then we're not going to see a change in our country. But with every revival, that's the root problem. We understand that. And so this morning, if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you need to do is you need to walk down an aisle this morning and pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. That's not only going to change your life. Hey, we've heard a lot of this. We had this abortion decision, and I heard this, you know, but life wins. Hey, let me tell you something more important than that. Eternal life. It's more important than life. And I'm glad for the life that we have here, and I'm glad for that ruling, and I'm glad that any time that happens, we'll have more babies that are born and not killed and not murdered. That's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you, something more important than the life you have is the eternal life you're going to have one day. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Until you get that squared away, until you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, boy, then we're not going to see a change in our life. You know what the problem was in Lot's day? Boy, Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was sin everywhere, yes. But the problem was there wasn't 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that? Hey, you know the problem in Noah's day? There was wickedness throughout the earth. And the Bible tells us it was in the days of Lot as it was in the days of Noah. But the problem in Noah's day, you know what? There was only 8 righteous people. 8 people saved. That was it, out of millions. That was the problem. Hey, this morning there's problems in our world. There's problems in our country. But the biggest problem we have is that we need people to get saved, to trust Christ as their Savior. That's going to make a difference. That's the root. But I want to show you the results this morning of the people of Israel as they went away from God. A nation, the decline of a nation as they went away from God. I want you to look first at verse number 11. And let me tell you who I'm talking to this morning. I'm not just talking to the world. No, this was the children of Israel. These were God's chosen people. I'm talking to God's people this morning. Verse number 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Let me tell you their first problem. Number one is this. They flaunted evil. The Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And that gives the idea they weren't trying to hide their sin anymore. No, the evil, the wickedness and the evil was front and center. And it seems like today, sin is out there for everyone to see. And I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about what Christians do. So what we're going to do is we're going to go on our social media and post the godless music that we listen to. That goes the rock music, the country music, those music that doesn't glorify God. We're going to put that out there for everyone to see and everyone to hear what we do. Hey, we're going to go ahead and put out there our vacation pictures from the beach when we're half naked. We're going to show that to everybody. I know you're expecting a better message this morning, but this is what we get, all right? We're going to post that out there as Christians. Doesn't bother us for the world to see us. Hey, we're going to, so-called Christian couple's going to go ahead and put their pictures out there. They're all over each other, can't keep their hands off each other. Boy, we're saved. It's got no standards. Hey, we're flaunting our sin. We're flaunting the wickedness. We're flaunting evil. And that's what they did. They did evil. They did wickedness. And they wanted to put it out there for everyone to see. You know, the acceptance of the world is more important to them than their testimony. You know, when we flaunt our sin, we're forgetting many times the influence that we have on other people. In a day where evil and wickedness, it seems like in the world, but also in the church, evil and wickedness is no longer in the dark, it's no longer in the corner. No, it's right out for everyone to see. Hey, here's how we live. And they flaunted their evil, they flaunted their wickedness, they weren't ashamed of how they lived. You know, we live in a day and age where, you know, hey, be careful, because everything's being recorded, right? I mean, everybody's got a phone to record. You know what my Bible says? It says in Proverbs chapter 15, the eyes of the Lord go where? Yeah. You know, God sees everything. Beholding the evil and the good. We're worried about, boy, somebody will catch us on it. Hey, God sees all of it. He sees all of it. The Bible says they flaunted that wickedness. They flaunted their evil as they went away from God. And it's amazing to me, and again, you know how I feel about social media. I'm just amazed that Christians will put their sin. Oh, here's my favorite TV program. And it mocks God, takes God's name in vain, cusses all over it, has immoral situations, but here's my favorite movie. Here's my favorite. I'm talking about preachers. We're just going to flaunt it. Hey, here's the wickedness. Here's the evil. That's what the problem was. The result of them going away from God is they began to flaunt their wickedness. They flaunted their evil. They did evil in the sight of God. The second look at verse number 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods. Not only did they flaunt their wickedness, they forgot their past. They forgot where they came from. You know, you hear about this, if somebody becomes very successful, right? And they're successful and they'll get accused of this and they're hearing, oh no, I'm not going to forget where I came from. But they get successful and they get attention and they get adulation and all those things. And, you know, it's like they're too important for those people they used to know back when they were younger. You know what happens sometimes, unfortunately, in Christian, I'm talking about good Christian homes? You have young people that grow up and forget where they came from.
They have young people that grow up being taught by mom and dad and taught by the church, here's the way you're supposed to live, but then they go away to college somewhere or get around some other, and all of a sudden, you know, those things they learned back there, they're sort of out of date and old-fashioned. And no longer are they going to follow those things that they were taught when they were growing up. No, because they know better now. Hey, they've become successful.
You know, there's people.
And by the way, I see a couple I appreciate always. I'll mention them a little bit. But our young people and
that get older
and come back. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm excited. I was telling you about a story Wednesday night. I saw a girl that used to ride our bus, and she was like happy to see. I'm glad when anybody's happy to see me. All right, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. All right. Especially they know where I'm from. They're happy to see me.
But sometimes, you know what gets frustrating? Is you have a young person who goes away, and now because of their worldliness or their pride or they're enlightened now, they forget where they came from, and they don't realize if it wasn't for a mom and dad that had them in the house of God, if it wasn't for the house of God and the man God preaching the truth of the word of God, they wouldn't be saved on their way to heaven. Their family wouldn't be where they are. They wouldn't have gone to the college they got to go to. They only know about that because of where they were starting out. And yet then they'll turn their back on those, their family, who's taught them what's right. Because you know what? They forgot where they came from. That's what happened to these Israelites. They forgot. They forgot the history where they had come from. They forgot. The Bible tells us there in verse number 12, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know, God's the one that delivered them out of sin in the first place. He's the one that brought them out of bondage. And be very careful. My parents, yeah, they believe this, but let me tell you something. If your parents hadn't brought you up the way they did, you wouldn't be where you are today because of what they did for you and what they taught you. And yet you have some, man, they wouldn't drive 10 minutes to be here this morning for any reason. Hey, make sure we don't forget where we came from.
And by the way, that's not just true of this church. That's true of a lot of churches like this one. They forgot the past. They forgot where they came from. And then look at verse 12.
They flaunted their evil. They forgot the past. Verse 12. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. So the gods of the people around about them and bowed themselves unto them. They forgot the past, and then they followed other gods. The Bible says they bowed themselves unto them. Aren't you tired of Christians bowing down to the world? I mean, they bowed themselves to them. Oh, they won't do anything to offend. Man, I'll offend a Christian, or I'll offend God's man, or I'll offend mom and dad, but I don't want to offend that person in the world, that one I work with, or that friend I know now, or somebody that I've been acquainted with. I don't want to say anything, do anything. Well, that might drive them off. And we bow down to the world.
So much, unfortunately, of our lifestyle has come where we're giving in to what the world wants us to do rather than following what the Word of God tells us to. Whether it be young people, older people alike, and we're worshiping entertainment or worshiping athletes or all those things that we're bowing down to. Hey, you know something else we're doing? See this a lot. Let me ask you, think about this week. Did you spend more time bowing your head in prayer? Well, this is what I see, bowing our head like this. Hey, is that what your kids see all the time? This part of your head? Because you got your eyes on your phone all the time? You spend more time with your head bowed to your phone than you do with your head bowed in prayer to God. Hey, you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow's Independence Day. How about this? How about making this Independence Week from your phone? Oh, man. Nah, man. Well, I got email. I got... What if somebody... You know the problem is? The problem is you are addicted to it. That's the problem. That's why you can't do it. Wow, for work. Okay. Then whatever you have to do for work. Yeah.
Hey, how about treat it like it's just a phone, that the only time you use it is if somebody calls you or you call somebody. You treat a phone like a phone. I don't know if you treat it like a phone. Hey, how about taking 1 week, take it this week. Say, all right, no phone. No phone. Independence week, right? Isn't it amazing how much our life has changed? But there's so much of a bowing down to the things of the world. And these Israelites, they bowed down. They bowed down to the gods. By the way, notice what it says here in verse number 12. They follow in the middle of the verse there, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around about them. You know what? Those people weren't even supposed to be there. Right? They were supposed to be driven out. Those people that were around them, God told them, hey, get those out. Hey, people that were not even supposed to be there. And that's the ones that they were bowing down to their gods. And you know what? As a church and as a people, we have to understand something. Hey, I understand our children should obey us. Yes, they should. But listen, quit complaining about children not obeying. Wife, when you won't submit to your husband. Husband, when you won't submit to God. Now, that doesn't excuse your children from the way they behave. But we sure want to complain about this person. Hey, what are we doing? What are we doing? Hey, I'm sick and tired, I'm sure, as you are, of Pride Month. Sick and tired of it. It's a sickening thing, and it's an awful thing, the wickedness, again, that's flaunted in our country. But you know what happens when we sign on to and we endorse or when we promote or when we allow shacking up and men and women living together who aren't married? Don't come complaining to me about homosexual. When we denigrate marriage in the first place by not getting married before we live together. Hey, that took place well before what we're dealing with now. I mean, we're talking about people that weren't even supposed to be there. That they're bowing down to. Hey, there's things in our lives that shouldn't even be there that we're bowing down to. They flaunted their sin and their wickedness. They forgot their past. They followed other gods. And then finally, look at verse 14, they faced defeat. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. You know, throughout the history of Israel, God had delivered them, God had delivered them, God had delivered them. And in verse 14, he does it again, except this time the Bible says he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. Hey, God says, hey, judgment's coming because of your sin. And that God who had delivered them when they were struggling, when they were in Egypt, that same God now delivers them into the sin. Let me tell you, God tells in his word, if you want sin bad enough, you want wickedness bad enough, you go after it, God's going to give you up to it. Now God's going to fight for his children, he's going to discipline his children, he's going to chasten his children, he will do that. The Bible says God here delivered them. And then what happens? This always happens when sin comes into a life, when sin comes into a home, when sin comes into a nation. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And look at the end of the verse, and they were greatly distressed. Hey, the reason we live for God is to please the Lord. We live for God to have that right relationship with him. But let me tell you something this morning for our young people, older people alike. Living for God is the best life. It's the best life. Hey, anytime you go against God, I don't care how good it sounds at the beginning, I don't care how much fun you're having, it's a life that ends up greatly distressed. They face defeat. That clip we played a little bit earlier from Dad, he was in Psalms chapter 80. So go to Psalms chapter 80, we'll close with this. But interesting, he said in that message, what would it take to change America? And along with that, what would it take to change our lives? Hey, what would it take for you to be more faithful to church? What would it take? Hey, what would it take for you to
get in the Word of God and read your Bible day by day. What would it take for you to get on your knees in prayer to God? What would it take for you to put that phone away for you? What would it take? What would God have to do in your life to change the way you live? Hey, we want, as we heard sung just a few minutes ago, man, we want the Lord to turn the tide, right? Turn the tide. And turn the tide of sin and wickedness that we're facing in America. But boy, that's got to start with us. And we'll close this Psalm chapter 80. We'll start in verse number 8. Man, it's a great passage here. And again, talking about the nation of Israel. And David says, uses a example here. Thou hast brought a vine, verse 8, out of Egypt. Talking about Israel. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and dost cause it to take deep root. And it filled the land. The nation of Israel, they filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent her boughs into the sea and her branches into the river. Oh, it just grew and grew. And verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? So that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Man, the judgment's come. Verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou made it strong for thyself. Boy, we only want the same thing for us today. Come visit this vineyard, this vine. Verse 16, it's burned with fire. It's cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Hey, when we call upon his name today, God, we want to come back to you. Hey, we want to come back to you in our lives. And we want this morning to live as if the future of America's spiritual health depended on us. Hey, God wants to turn the tide, right? Hey, turn us again, O Lord. Cause thy face to shine, so we shall be saved. Father, I pray that you'd help each of us this morning to look in our hearts, to think about those things we're doing. And Lord, I don't know for each person what that is. We mentioned some things this morning. It doesn't cover everything. And I don't know what it is, but I know this, that if we're not careful, it's very easy to move away from the Word of God and from the principles that are found there. And so I pray this morning, Lord, help us to make sure we're not in any way flaunting wickedness or evil. Lord, help us to be very careful what we take in, what we're a part of, what we're associated with, how we live day by day. Help us, Lord, not to forget the past, not forget those who have sacrificed and suffered and loved and lived for us. Lord, help us not throw away the things we've been taught. And then, Lord, may you help us not to follow other gods. Help us not to bow down to the things of this world. When we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we don't focus on what you're doing. And Lord, turn us, turn our hearts, turn my heart, Lord. I pray this week would be a week, day by day by day, more than ever before, where I turn back to you. Lord, help this country. We need this country. Lord, this country is only going to change as we change. So, Lord, we pray you turn the tide in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you very quickly this morning as we go to the invitation. We mentioned at the beginning, the root problem is those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's where it starts. We can't turn as we should if we haven't been saved. You're here this morning, you say this, you say, I know I'm saved, man. I know I'm on the way to heaven. I'm not perfect, but I've asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I've trusted him as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. If you can say it, just put your hand up very quickly and put it right back down. Thank you. I don't do that quickly to make it flippant at all. No, it's very, very important. I didn't want to signify what we've done for Christ.
If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know if I died today, if I'd go to heaven or hell. I don't know what would happen to me. I promise you I won't embarrass you at all, but I want you to understand you're a sinner. We're all sinners before God, and that sin will send you to hell. It'd be a shame to go to hell from anywhere, but especially from a country like America where the gospel is preached freely. And this morning, you've heard at least a little bit of it. You're here this morning and say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you at all, but I want you to be honest before God. And if you do this, just slip here and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. If you're saved this morning, hey, you're going to allow God to turn the tide in your life. Yeah, I want it for my country. Yeah, but what about you? What about you? What about you this morning? As you heard earlier, if we don't turn ourselves, God will turn us with His hand of judgment. Hey, turn back to Him this morning. As music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We're going to go get something to eat here in a few minutes. And so I'm going to head over to the gym. Then no choir tonight, is that right? So no choir. Are we doing junior choir? Okay, junior choir in place. All right, but no choir tonight. So be back 5:30 for junior choir. And man, good to see Jonah. Jonah, I heard you before I saw you, all right? I said, that's Jonah back there singing, all right? So I heard him singing right there, but good to see you in. Always good to have our young people back in. And then, man, Brother Patrick, good to see you. I was thinking, as I saw him, Mr. Martin, I remember when we were praying for his cancer. Remember that? And God brought him through that. And then we were praying for his cancer, and God brought him through that. Man, that's a great testimony of what God's done in the lives of their family. Man, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And saw the boys in here a few services ago. Man, always good to have people back in. Brother Patrick, if you'll close out in word of prayer, it'd be great. Thank you, man.